Hey there, CEOs. It's Brandy, and I have just a quick note for newer listeners. This show used to be called the She Who Dares podcast, but on May 5th, 2022, we changed the name to the Wedding Pro CEO podcast to better reflect my mission to help wedding industry entrepreneurs scale a profitable business they love. The content is the same, just a more descriptive title. Enjoy the show. Hey there, podcast friends. Welcome back to another episode of the She Who Dares podcast. Today, my guest is Michelle Seiler Tucker. She is the author of Exit Rich. And you guys, I cannot even begin to describe how many notes I had all over my desk while we were recording this episode, because you know this is a topic I'm incredibly passionate about. I want wedding professionals to always know their exit strategy, always know the destination that they're going to, so that you can build a business and not a job. And listening to Michelle, oh my gosh, talk through each of these points, exactly how to ensure that your business is sellable and that you have an exit is absolutely brilliant. So you're going to need a notepad for this episode. If you don't have one right now, hit pause, go get a notepad, get somewhere where you can really, really listen, because this episode is going to knock your socks off. I'm telling you, Michelle Seiler Tucker is dropping some fiery nuggets today, you guys. So I cannot wait for you to listen to this episode. Here we go. Michelle, thank you so much for being here today. I cannot wait to talk about today's topic.
Thanks, Brandy. Thanks for having me. I'm a little nasally, so I have a cold.
That's okay. I feel like, you know, it's just that time of year. Everybody's a little nasally, and then you're afraid, right?
Yep.
Everybody thinks, you know, the worst. But no, you're totally fine. Honestly, I heard you on another podcast, Angela Proffitt's Business Unveiled podcast, and I ordered your book while I was listening.
Oh, awesome.
And then, I mean, it was so good. And then your team reached out to me and I was just like, yes, immediately my listeners need to hear this topic. And your book, Exit Rich, I'm about halfway through it. I just love it. So this is a topic I'm really passionate about. So
wonderful.
I cannot wait for you to share with my listeners. So Michelle, will you tell everybody first a little bit just about who you are and kind of where you came from?
Sure. So I'm Michelle Seiler Tucker. Where did I come from? Let's see. I came from Long Beach, California. And my family moved to Austin, Texas when I was young, because my father is from a family of 12 siblings. And he decided one day that he didn't like his brothers and sisters and they kept arguing all the time. So he packed up my four brothers and myself, and we moved to Austin. So there we are. Anyway, and now I live in New Orleans. I've been an entrepreneur pretty much my entire life. I did go to work for corporate America, a small little company, Fortune 500 company called Xerox. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yes.
And so I went to Xerox. I was there for about 6 months, and then they promoted me to regional vice president over about 150 salespeople. And correction, I'm not sure why I said four brothers. It was three brothers and a dog.
That's so funny. Well, my daughters call our black lab their brother, so we'll just go with it. We'll go with it.
Yeah, three brothers and a dog that I called brother.
That's funny.
But anyway, so I was at Xerox. And then I decided, you know, I just don't like working for corporate America. You know, and I especially don't like leadership and management in corporate America, because there's so much red tape and you can't really get anything accomplished. So I'm the type of person that likes to get things done quickly. Mm-hmm. And corporate America doesn't really move quickly. And so I transitioned out of corporate America into my own franchise development, franchise consultant, franchise sales company, where I had equity with different franchisors. The reason I transitioned into mergers and acquisitions over 20 years ago is because I had so many buyers asking me for existing businesses. And I said, you know, I kept saying, no, you know, we work with startups. And then I said, gosh, I'm a law of attraction girl. Why do I keep saying no?
That's right, right?
So,
I was just telling you something.
Yeah. And I've always taught my clients, listen to the consumers. Mm-hmm. What are the consumers asking you for? What are they telling you they want, they need? So that's when I really decided to open up my M&A firm a little over 20 years ago. And since I've sold 500 companies, my firm altogether has sold 1,000 in pretty much every vertical you can imagine. We've sold a lot of businesses in the service industry. And so that's pretty much my story. I specialize in buying, selling, fixing, growing companies. I partner with business owners, investing my time, energy, efforts, my resources, my capital. We buy businesses and flip them. We sell businesses and we merge companies.
So crazy. And, you know, some of my listeners that are hearing this, you know, we're mostly service-based companies. We're very small. A lot of solopreneurs, they might be listening and thinking, I don't need this. Like, I don't need to know this. But one of the things that I preach on this podcast all the time is you've got to have an exit strategy. You know, you can't be in business until the day you fall over. I mean, I guess you could, but that's not really why anyone would start a business. I think, you know, you don't want to have to work yourself to the ground all the time. And so one of the things that you talked about that was so intriguing is that a lot of the businesses you work with to sell their business, they're not ready by the time when they say, oh my gosh, I want out, I want to sell my business. It's kind of too late because they haven't prepared their business well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, Steve Forbes says it best. Steve Forbes endorsed my book, Exit Rich. And Steve Forbes states 80% of businesses will never sell. 80%. You know, this should really be a huge wake-up call for all business owners, because that means you have less than a 20% chance of success. And the main reason for that is because what you just said earlier, Brandy, is that most business owners never think about selling their business. They think of their business as their baby, you know, and I tell my clients all the time, your business is not your baby. Your babies are at home. Go home, love them, hug them, kiss them. Treat your business like the most valuable asset that it is and build it with the end in mind. And so many businesses are not sellable because, again, they don't think about exit strategy. They haven't planned their exit strategy until a catastrophic event occurs. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're like, hey, I have to sell this business.
Mm-hmm. And that does happen a lot where, you know, you, especially in my industry, in the wedding industry, that's where a lot of our listeners are from. Business owners don't tend to even think about selling their company till they're burnt out, overwhelmed, and they're literally just like, I need it gone. Like, I just need to walk away. And you have to think, you've worked all this time to build up this company for what? You know, and now you're just walking away for pennies on the dollar. And I don't.
Or worse, closing your business or filing bankruptcy.
Yes. And all of that, all of those things happen. I mean, over and over again, especially in a service-based industry, because you really have nothing to sell except yourself a lot of the time. So, Michelle, what are some things that listeners can think about if they're kind of thinking, okay, well, what does all this mean? Like, what would be some of the things that they should be thinking about to make their business more sellable?
Yeah. So first and foremost, you got to plan your exit. You know, like I was saying earlier, business owners don't think about their exit until an internal or external catastrophic event occurs. Internal are like health issues, partners disputes, divorce, death, and burnout. You know, I just had a lady call me the other day from Dallas, Texas. She said, my husband dropped dead from a heart attack at the age of 40.
Oh,
left her with a mountain of debt, and she has no idea about the finances. Plus, she doesn't know anything about his company. She said, can you sell it? I started asking her a series of questions, and he had no employees. He had all subcontractors, and he had no processes. All the data was in his head. So when he died, the business died. And that's what we don't want to have happen. We want to make sure that entrepreneurs set their family up for success and really treat your business as the asset that it is. So first and foremost, let's plan our GPS exit model. Let's start there, Brandy, because I think all business owners, regardless of the size of your business, you really need to start with the end in mind, like Stephen Covey says. And we call this the GPS exit model that's in my book, Exit Rich. So first and foremost, Brandy, if you want to drive somewhere, what do? You pull out your phone, you go to Google Maps, and what's the first thing you plug in?
Yeah, you put in your destination.
Put in your destination. So many business owners don't have a destination. They don't have a desired sales price. Business owners don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And so they don't have a desired sales price. So they're driving around, you know, the financial circles. They're driving up and down the financial hills to end up, like you said, exiting poor, selling for pennies on a dollar. Figure out what you want to sell that business for. Let's say you want to sell for $1 million. Just pick a number, any number.
Right.
And let's say you want to sell for $1 million. Boom, okay. There's a number. The next step in a GPS exit model is to know, where are you starting from? What is your current location? Mm. In other words, what is your current evaluation? What is your business worth today? And Brandy, most business owners have no idea what their business is worth. You know, it's so strange to me because if you invest in the stock market, if you have a financial advisor, you always know what your portfolio is. You always know what it's worth, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You always know what your stocks and portfolio investments are worth, but you don't know what your business is worth. You need an annual valuation checkup because there are events to increase valuation. There are events to decrease valuation. Every year, you need to know what your business is worth. Extremely important.
This is intriguing. Can we pause there for a second?
Sure.
So where would you even begin to figure out what your business is worth? Would you call a company like yours?
Well, I would not call a CPA. Yes, I would call a company like mine. I would specialize with an M&A expert that knows how to evaluate businesses. And that's how you really should evaluate the business on synergies. Most CPAs will just look at the bottom line and they won't take into consideration, oh, let's say you have a database. Let's say you have contracts. Let's say you have trademarks. So you want to make sure that you have an M&A expert that is experienced on evaluating synergies. So let's say you want to sell for $1 million and you're worth, let's say you're worth $250,000.
Okay.
The next thing you need to know is time frame. Let's say you want to do this in let's say 10 years.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say you love your business. You want to stay in it for 10 years. Then you need to know, well, who are my buyers going to be? Mm-hmm. Now notice I say buyers, not buyer, because clients call me all the time and say, Michelle, I already have the buyer. I just need you to represent me with this one buyer. And I'm always like, no, I'll represent you, but let's put the business on the market and bring multiple buyers. Yeah. Because I'm going to have to evaluate your business. I'm going to have to evaluate your business on the six P's. We're going to have to look at your financials. In most cases, business owners' financials are a disaster. We're going to have to clean up the financials. We're going to have to get all the paperwork together, create the data room. And I can promise you the likelihood of that one buyer closing on the sale of your business is slim to none.
Right.
So you always want to have backup buyers. Plus, how can we maximize value if we can't create competition with a party of one? So there's five different types of buyers, Brandy.
Okay.
And so 90% of buyers are first-time buyers. If you're trying to sell a business for $1 million, then your business will be attractive to first-time buyers because they'll be able to afford you. They can give you so much money down. You can do seller financing. You can get an SBA loan for the price of that business. The second type of buyer is turnaround specialists. Turnaround specialists buy distressed assets. Then you got private equity groups. Private equity groups buy larger type businesses. Typically, they want those business. Well, they buy two ways. They buy based on platforms and they buy based upon add-ons. Let's say private equity groups wants to get into the wedding space, the event space. They won't even consider the event space unless it has at least $3 million in EBITDA. EBITDA is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. Let's say that they're already in the event space and they're looking for businesses under. They're looking for add-on businesses. Then they'll consider businesses under that $1 million in EBITDA. And then you've got the fourth type of buyer, which are strategics and competitors. Now, they typically will pay the highest multiple because they're buying synergies, such as, you know, the management team. They're buying client base, contracts, databases, trademarks, etc. So they'll typically pay the highest multiple. Now, if you're in the wedding business, there are competitors and strategics that want to get in that industry or competitors that want to buy up other wedding venues or other, you know, wedding event companies. And then the last type of buyer is a sophisticated buyer. And what they do is they chase EBITDA. They're industry agnostic. So those are the five types of buyers. And once you've determined that and you say, okay, I want to sell for $1 million, where's my gross revenues need to be? Where's my, you know, COGS, my operating expenses? Most importantly, where does my EBITDA need to end up at? And if you want to sell your service business, I would say your EBITDA probably needs to be around $400,000 to $500,000 to get a $1 million price tag.
That is, I was going to ask if there was a special number because that's, you know, to know what the multiplier is for our industry or just kind of what you're shooting for, I think is really helpful. But I love, you know, I talk a lot on my podcast as well about kind of just like knowing where you're going. You got to know where you're going. So I love that you talk about this GPS exit model so that it's exactly like using Waze, right? You put in your destination, you got to know where you are, and that way you don't get off track and lost along the journey.
Right.
And so this is so, so helpful. So I noticed you also mentioned, Michelle, about employees versus contractors. You know, for service-based businesses especially, is this something that, you know, we really need to be prepared for, is that we have employees and not contractors?
Well, here's the deal. Yes, because if you, I mean, you can sell a business if you have contractors, but the problem is if it's only you and everybody else is subcontractors and you go to sell your business, what happens is the business dependent upon you.
Right.
And the answer is going to be yes. And if the business is dependent upon you, then that doesn't mean it's not sellable. It could be sellable to a first-time buyer who's trying to buy a job.
Okay.
Because basically what an owner has, if the business is dependent upon them, is really a job, not a business that works for them. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love that you're saying this. You created a job, not a business.
And you know what? And that's not to offend anybody, Brandy,
sure.
But everybody, so many entrepreneurs, that's why 80% of businesses don't sell, because entrepreneurs have created a glorified job that they go to work at every day versus a business that actually works for them.
Yes. I love
it. And that's what happens as a service business. It happens in a lot of other businesses as well. So if you want to sell and maximize value, yes, you need to have employees underneath you, W-2s. You could also have 1099s, but the business cannot be dependent upon you.
I love this. And so having strategic employees in your company so that your company really does run without you,
right,
is important.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I love it.
Well, and that's what we're talking. That's what Exit Rich is all about. Exit Rich is not just about selling your business. It's actually about building a sustainable business that you can scale that will be hugely profitable, so that when you're ready to sell your company, you'll actually have a sellable asset. Because most business owners, when they get to that point where they wake up one day and say, oh my God, I got to sell my business, their business is not sellable for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah. And we talk about that a lot too in my educational communities, because, you know, in the wedding industry, you're so right. What you said in the very beginning about, you know, a lot of people say their business is their baby. Their business isn't their baby, but I get it. You know, when you're hustling and it's all you think about, it can feel like that. And so the thought of selling it can sometimes be like, oh no, I'll never sell it. But at the end of the day, even if you're not going to sell it, having a business that can support you that doesn't require your 24/7 oversight is still very, very valuable. So it's the same principles, right?
Right. And it, you know, doesn't that sound so wonderful?
Yes.
Having a business that doesn't require you 24/7.
Yes. Yes. I know there's so many of my listeners like, yes, please, I want this. And that's so much of what we talk about on this show, because, you know, our industry really wears overwhelmed and burnt out as like a badge of honor. Like it's like the most exhausted person at the networking event. It must be the most successful. And I desperately want to break that for our industry, because it's just not a healthy way of doing business or living your life.
It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
Yeah, it's really not. So Michelle, when you were talking, you mentioned the 6 P's, which I know you cover in your book, but could you tell us a little bit about that for anybody that's listening?
Absolutely. Because, you know, it's so funny, because even though I'm going to go over the 6 P's, that's only six chapters in a 25-chapter book.
Right. Right. But they're very important.
Yes. Very important. Yes. Well, the P's are the infrastructure. It's kind of like, you know, when you want to build a house, Brandy, you hire a contractor. And what's the contractor do? They go out and they dig really deep. They put in the electrical, they put in the plumbing, they put in everything that you need. They pour the cement, they build a really strong foundation. So when a, you know, if a hurricane or a tornado or something comes by, your house is going to withstand that wind, right? So same thing with a business. Most business owners are so focused on marketing and sales, marketing and sales, marketing and sales, that they never really build a solid foundation to be able to sustain growth. So the 6 P's is your infrastructure. The first P is people, which is what we've been talking about. You don't grow a business, you grow people, and people grow the business.
I love that.
So entrepreneurs have a habit of we're control freaks, right? Mm-hmm. Most entrepreneurs are like, if I want it done right, I have to do it myself. Well, that can't be further from the truth. We're not good at everything. Entrepreneurs have, we really need to take a step back and figure out what are your core competencies? What are you the best at? And hire your weaknesses. Focus on your strengths, hire your weaknesses.
So good.
And work on your business, not in it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I know everybody listening is like, I've heard this, but I don't know how, but it's possible. You have to make it a priority.
You have to make it a priority, and you have to identify what are the seats in your company and making sure that you get the right people in the right seats. And start by just taking a pen and paper and write down the who, W-H-O, the who question. Who handles customer service? Who handles marketing? Who handles sales? Who handles quality control? Who handles bookings? Who handles the vendors? Who handles the events? Who calms the bride down? You know, write down all the who's, who's. And the clue here, Brandy, is that you should never be next to the who.
I love that but you know what, Michelle? I don't know if you've noticed this with people that you work with, but the biggest trick for me when I stepped out of being one of those who's was the mindset of it, like the guilt of feeling like I didn't do anything for my business because I was not a who. Do you ever see that with people you're working with?
Yeah, of course, you know, all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is a tricky thing to go from, you know, you're building your business. It's just you, you start hiring and then you start being able to kind of step into that CEO and not be a who. And I don't know, for me, it was a little tricky at first. I was like,
well, it's going to be very tricky. I mean, look, it's baby steps, right? We're not saying that you're going to go from working in your business, handling every single task that comes your way to working on your business and not really handling any of the day to day. It's growing pains, you know, it's baby steps and it's going to take some time to get you there. It's not going to happen overnight.
Right. You just need to know that destination so that you're constantly kind of working towards that. And, you know, the same person can handle a couple of those who's as well.
Absolutely. Like you can have multiple seats in your business. Let's say that, you know, let's say that some of the seats in your business is to answer the phones, schedule meetings, book weddings, you know, deal with vendors. I mean, that can almost be one person right there.
Absolutely.
So you can have one person in multiple seats. You just have to have the right person. A lot of times, and I find myself guilty of this too, is a lot of times we think, okay, we got the right person, but then we keep getting friction along the way and we're really trying to force a round peg into a square hole.
Yes.
And at some point you just got to stop and say, you know what? This is not the right person. Maybe this person needs to be in another position. Maybe it's a great hire. You know, that we don't cut the cord so early, that we try them out in another position that they're better suited for. But you really got to make sure you have the right person in the right seats. And to do that, you really have to identify what those seats are.
Yep.
What those seats are. What are the qualities you're looking for? You know, is it extreme attention to detail? Is it extreme, you know, extrovert position where they have to be really friendly? It's a creative position. You really have to identify what are the characteristics that are going to make that position successful.
Yes. And I know that people listening are thinking, yes, I know that I have creative positions and I have logistical positions. So it's so important to think through that. Michelle, this is like, I love it. I have so many notes around my desk right now as you're talking.
And write that detailed job description. Yeah. You got to read, because so many business owners don't write the job description. Write that job description and then take that job description and post it in an ad. And make sure you're crystal clear. Now, the problem with these ads is a lot of people don't read.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah.
And then you need to have testing in place. You know, when you bring them in and do the interview, have testing. And we do what we call work interviews where we have somebody work with us for a week or two before we actually hire them.
Just to make sure that
they're a good fit.
Yeah. I mean, for an administrative position or for social media, those are things that a lot of wedding industry pros outsource. That's an easy thing to have somebody give them a project or two and make sure that it's done to your liking before you hire them.
Absolutely. And I still recommend outsourcing. I want to make sure that I make that crystal clear. Outsource social media, outsource your marketing, you know, outsource those things because you don't have to have an in-house social media person. You don't have to have an in-house SEO Google expert. Outsource that because it's less expensive than hiring someone in-house. And guess what? All the good marketing people or independent contractors.
That's true.
If they're looking for a position, it's probably because they're not very good.
I love that tip. So noted.
Yeah, I'm going to give you another tip.
Yeah, go for it.
Colleges.
Yes.
Colleges have, you know, a lot of colleges won't allow a student to graduate without an internship. I'm fortunate to sit in between four different colleges. We have a wait list of interns for analyst positions, marketing positions, et cetera. So get yourself a marketing intern. Get yourself an intern that, you know, maybe somebody in hospitality that's studying hospitality and they really want to get into the hospitality industry. Get some interns.
I love that. We have a big school near us too. So interns are a huge part of our business. Okay. So that was the first P, which was so good. So tell us about the rest of the P's.
So the second P is product. Now, product is your product, your service, your industry. So look at your industry. It's okay. Is my industry on the way up or on the way out? Well, if your industry is weddings, that's on the way up. That's not going anywhere. People will always get married.
True.
That's not going to change, you know. But if your industry is restaurants, well, restaurants are not doing so well right now, right?
Right.
So you really want to look at your industry and ask yourself, is it on the way up or on the way out? Okay. Do you have an Amazon and you're in your prime? And if you're in your prime, you know, no pun intended there, but if you're in your prime, then that's when you should sell. If you have a blockbuster and you're about to go out of business, then you really need to pivot. But I think you said most of your listeners are in the wedding industry.
They are. And, you know, it's been an interesting time, but I'm a Shark Tank junkie. And I always think it's so funny when a business owner comes on to pitch their product and they say their sales and then they say the sales the year before, it's clearly declining. I'm like, they're not going to get a deal here. They're not going to get a deal. So I love that you said that, you know whether you're on your way up or you're on your way down.
Yeah. And if you are declining, you know, and that's a problem with these people on Shark Tank. And we actually coach people how to go on Shark Tank.
No way.
If any of your listeners, you know, want to go on Shark Tank, come to us because we coach you how to go on. We coach you about your evaluation. We do all that.
Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed with Shark Tank.
And we've gotten people on Shark Tank and we've gotten people deals on Shark Tank.
How cool is that? I don't know if I have the record for buying the most Shark Tank products, but it's possible.
You know, that's why I like watching Shark Tank because I'm like, that's a cool thing. I want that product.
Me too. I go on Amazon. I buy it right away.
Yeah. And that's a great thing about going on Shark Tank. Even if you don't get a deal, who cares? You just who got cares? Branding, free branding.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. So you also, okay. Brandy, want to make sure you have multiple revenue streams. The problem is that so many business owners look at restaurants. The reason restaurants are so bad during this pandemic is because they have one way they get paid. Patrons come in and eat or they take food to go. You got to have multiple revenue sources. So if you're in the wedding industry, you got to have multiple ways that you get paid.
Okay.
So really be creative about that. Ask yourself some transformational questions. Ask yourself, what business are you in? Amazon did this in the 90s. They asked themselves, what business are we in? And Amazon said, we're in the book fulfillment business. We fulfill book orders. Mm. Number two, what's your secret sauce? What do you do better than everybody else? What's your USP, your unique selling proposition? Amazon said, we do fulfillment better than anyone else in the world. Number three, the most important question you should ask yourself is, what business should you be in? Mm. And Amazon said, we should be in the fulfillment business, fulfilling orders for everyone all around the world, not just books. Those three transformational questions transformed Amazon from a very small book fulfillment center to the multi-billion-dollar worldwide conglomerate that they are today.
So crazy, because they knew that about themselves.
And these are transformational questions. We as entrepreneurs have to get out of transactional and really get more into transformational so we can grow our companies.
I love it. Okay.
So the next P, the third P, is processes. Processes are kind of like exit strategy. Business owners don't think about processes until something bad in the company happens. They're like, oh my God, we need a process for this. Processes need to be designed from the beginning of buying or starting your company. And your processes need to be designed around the customer experience. What I mean by that is so many business owners design their processes around the owner's agenda, the business owner's agenda. Look at doctor's offices. When are doctors open?
Regular business hours.
Regular business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. When do we work?
All the time.
All the time.
No, but you, 9 to 5 is, yeah, right.
So it was very difficult to get in. My husband and I own medical clinics, and we have evening hours and Saturday hours for our patients. So you need to go. So you need to ask yourself, what do we want our clients to experience? Come up with 3 things. McDonald's did this back in 1950s. The McDonald brothers said, we want to open up a fast food restaurant. We want a fast food system. We want to design our processes around the customer experience. We want the customer experience great tasting food that's hot and fast, 30 seconds or less.
Okay.
That was designed back in the 50s. And even though it's been tweaked along the way, it's the reason you can eat at a McDonald's anywhere in the world and get great tasting food, especially French fries that are hot, fast, 30 seconds or less.
Yeah.
So go ask yourself, what do you want your clients to experience? Ask your clients.
Yeah. I love that too, because what that doesn't mean is that you need to work 24/7 so that you can accommodate every kind of client. But it does mean, like Blush, for instance, which is my planning company, we do offer certain evenings of the week to do consultations or evening appointments, because some of our clients need to meet in the evening, and that's totally fine. Or we do offer certain Saturdays during the month, again, to accommodate those clients. So it's important, but that does not mean that you have to work 24/7 so that you can accommodate, you know, morning clients and evening clients, and you got to make it work for you too. But I love this about making your processes around what your client would want.
Yeah, because if you don't create wow experiences for your clients, your competitor will do it for you and you'll lose market share.
Yes. So good.
And make sure they're productive, make sure they're efficient, and make sure they're well documented. You know, make sure you have policy and procedures, SOP checklists. So the 4P is proprietary. This is the highest value driver. Okay. Proprietary can take you from a 3 multiple to a 4 to a 5 to an 8. These are your proprietary assets. Number one is, the more well branded you are, the more I can sell your company for. As long as your brand is relevant in the mind of the consumer. Nobody's paying any money for Blockbuster. The most valuable brand in the world is Apple, worth $359 billion just for the brand. Trademarks are another one. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs will go out there, they'll think of a name, they'll go to GoDaddy, and they're like, yes, I got the .com. And then they go to their state and they get a trademark in their state, but they never check the federal database to make sure that company name is available. That is a big no-no, because you could be operating for 3, 4, 5 years and all of a sudden receive a cease and desist letter in the mail, and you have to stop using that company name.
Oh my gosh. Can you even imagine? I can't even imagine. I'm sure you've seen it so many times, but I can't even fathom that.
Oh, I've seen it numerous times. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Our company is trademarked, but that was because my husband was so passionate about it. I was like, whatever. And and he was like, Brandy, we've got to trademark your company. You know,
federal trademark. When you say trademark, people think you mean state trademark. Extremely important to get that federal trademark. So get that. And not just on your company name, your logo, your slogan, your podcast, Brandy.
Okay.
Yes, your podcast. I just got my podcast, Exit Rich, trademarked, federal trademark. So get your podcast and then your products. Let's say you have products. We have a company we're selling for $60 million. They have 12 different products. Each product has a federal trademark. Each product has exclusivity. One's in Target, one's in Walmart.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, these are all good to know.
And then patents are big. We talked about Shark Tank, right? Every shark always asks every inventor, do you have a patent on that? Do you have a patent?
Yes. Every time.
Contracts are big, even in the wedding business. So hear me out on contracts, because this is very important.
Okay.
Contracts are valuable, like manufacturing contracts, vendor contracts, distribution, franchisor that has franchisees. Client contracts are extremely valuable. And in the wedding industry, if you're an event planner, you probably have a contract with your bride. You want to make sure you have the transferability clause. And I can guarantee you, nobody listening has a transferability clause in their contract.
I bet you're right.
Oh, I know. I've been in this industry for 20 years. I've never met one owner that has a transferability clause.
I'm going to check ours, but I would guarantee it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't even sound familiar.
And that's what everybody always says. It doesn't sound familiar.
Right. So if I were to sell my company and all of my clients were going with it, I have bought a company. I've bought another wedding planning company. It was a total train wreck. I've been very transparent about that on this podcast. But the transferability clause would allow me to legally hand over my clients to a new company?
Yes, but the transferability clause needs to basically say this contract is transferable upon the new entity. without written permission.
Right. We don't have to ask our clients if that's okay.
Because 98% of sales are asset sales, especially small companies. If your buyer doesn't agree to a stock sale, most buyers won't agree to a stock sale, and your clients don't sign the consent to transfer. Plus, if you got 100 brides, you want to go to all 100 brides and let them know you're selling your company when you're getting married? No. So you got to get that transferability clause.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am going to look into that, you guys. So if you're listening, more to come on the transferability clause for our industry, but this is exciting. Something I'm going
to
go check
out. It doesn't have to be specific to industry.
Yeah.
It's just a two sentence clause that is industry agnostic.
Okay.
And it basically says this contract, this agreement is transferable upon the new entity.
Okay. This is so good.
Databases are big.
Okay.
You know, Facebook paid $19 billion for WhatsApp, and WhatsApp was hemorrhaging, not making any money whatsoever. Uh-huh. The reason why they bought WhatsApp is because WhatsApp had a synergy. They had 19 billion users.
So would that be like your email list, or would that be more like your CRM of existing and past clients?
It's a combination of your existing past clients and your email list. You know, a big tip is to go to social media. You know, a lot of times clients will say, well, Michelle, I have 1 million followers on Instagram. And I always say, you don't have anything.
Instagram does.
If you want those followers, you have to create a funnel on Instagram and get those those followers into your system.
Did you guys hear that Michelle just said you need to use your social media as a funnel, which we talk about on the show all the time? So Michelle's saying it. She's a pro.
It must be true then.
That's right. Exactly.
Celebrity endorsements, which is kind of hard in a service industry, but we have a client that's got products in front of Oprah. Oh. So that makes, that makes her business a lot more valuable. So celebrity endorsements, radio personalities, anything like this, content, you know, is huge. If you hire an intern, or if you go to Odesk or Elance or Fiverr or any of those outsource companies, make sure you get your intern or any of these companies to sign a release stating that you own the content, that they don't own it, whether that's written content, video content, or photography.
Okay, good to know.
And also keep all your IP, your trademarks, your trademarks, your databases, well, really your trademarks and your patents in a separate LLC, okay? Next is patrons. So patrons are your customer base. Most businesses follow the 80-20 rule, where 80% of your business comes from 20% of your clients. It's called customer concentration. Service industries don't typically have that issue. So you want to make sure you always have customer diversification, and you're not at risk losing a bit, you know, you're not at risk losing that 80% of your revenue because it exists with 20% of your clients. Make sense?
It does. And for anybody listening that's in the wedding industry and we're like, well, we really only have one-time clients, this would be, you know, if you're on a preferred venue list for several venues, but one venue in particular sends you 70 or 80% of your business, that's awesome. But if that venue decides to change who they're going to refer all of a sudden, your business tanks. So you need to be really, really thinking about where's all of my business coming from? Am I able to diversify that a little bit? So that's what you want to kind of think through.
Yeah. And that's a very good point. So I'm glad you brought that up. But yeah, because that's, if they tank, you're in big trouble.
Oh, forget it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We've seen that happen a lot in our industry.
And just because you're in a wedding business doesn't mean it's a one time. I mean, people do get married 2, 3, 4, and 5 times, but you know. And not to mention that they have friends, right? So you should have a strong referral program.
Well, that's the thing, is having that referral program. We just recently on the podcast talked about your offboarding process, making sure that you're staying top of mind with your clients for referrals, but also if you do social events. So if they have birthday parties or anniversary parties, bridal showers, baby showers, all the things, you want to make sure that you're staying top of mind. So there can definitely be repeat business. Okay. So what's our last one, Michelle? What's our last P?
Our last P is profits. The reason we're all in business. And the reason I put profits last is because lack of profits is never the problem. It's always the symptom of. So it's a symptom of not operating in one of the other five Ps. If you don't have the right people, if you don't have people in place and you're one person, and you can only handle so many weddings, you're going to lose money because you're turning down market share, you're turning down clients, right?
Yes.
Or your processes are not buttoned up, you're going to lose money. Or if your processes are not designed around the customer experience and you haven't created wow experiences for your brides, the word's going to get out and you'll lose market share. So the bottom line is, if you're operating on all five Ps, you're going to be profitable. You can't help not to be.
I love that. I love that. These are so interesting, Michelle. I wish you could see my desk right now. There's like 100 post-it notes all around with different thoughts that I love from this podcast. I'm definitely going to re-listen to it as well. If, you know, in our industry, businesses are quite small, what would be the smallest business that could reach out to your company for an evaluation?
Well, you can reach out to our company because I have a team of analysts and transaction facilitators that do work with smaller businesses.
Great.
So you can reach us at SeilerTucker.com.
Okay.
That's SeilerTucker.com. I encourage everybody to get the book Exit Rich.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You guys, it's so good, and I'm only halfway through it. But like I said, I ordered it while I was listening to Michelle on another podcast because I was just like, I have to have this book. It's so good. It's well laid out. It's easy to read, easy to follow. I just can't talk enough about how important it is to know your exit. Even if you're never going to use one, you're going to want to know what they are when the time comes. And so I think that that's really, really important. We're going to put Michelle's website in the show notes so you guys can click over there if you want to do an evaluation of your company. Super important. Reach out to them. And Michelle, where can people follow you on social media?
Oh my gosh. They can go to LinkedIn, Twitter. It's Michelle Seiler Tucker on every social media. Facebook, it's Michelle Seiler Tucker. Can I tell everyone where to get the book? Because we have special bonuses.
Yes, please. Because right. I got some of your special bonuses. So yeah, we'll link that in the show notes too. Okay. So tell us where they can get
it. Sure. So most of your listeners are in the United States, in the USA?
Yes, most of them.
Okay. So if you're in the US, go to exitrichbook.com. Now you can buy Exit Rich on Amazon. You can buy it at your favorite bookstore. We're in Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. We're everywhere. If you do buy it somewhere other than Exit Rich, just email us the receipt at marketing@seilertucker.com. If not, go to exitrichbook.com. Buy the book there, $24.79. We'll email you the digital version. We will mail the hardcover to your doorstep. In addition to that, we will give you a lifetime membership into the Exit Rich Book Club, where there's video content and me doing really deep dives in different strategies and techniques, plus documents to operate your business, documents to sell your business. So we have sample employee handbooks, org charts, policy and procedure manuals. To sell your business, we have sample LOIs, letter of intents, purchase agreements, due diligence checklists, closing documents, and more. All of these documents are there for your review and your download. And Brandy, these documents are worth over $50,000 if you went to an attorney to recreate. I know, because I've spent the money. And then also we're giving you a 30-day free membership into Club CEOs, which is an entrepreneurship mastermind where we ask those transformational questions, how business owners pivot and build that sustainable, scalable, and sellable company. All at exitrichbook.com. Again, if you buy Exit Rich somewhere else, just email the receipt and we'll make sure you still get the bonuses.
Michelle, this was so good. I got all the bonuses. I love them. I'm all in this Exit Rich. I love it, love it, love it. And I just think that you've laid it out so well and so simple for everybody to kind of follow along. So I know our listeners got some serious nuggets from this show like I did. And so thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you, Brandy. Thanks for having me on.
Hey there, wedding pro. Are you feeling overwhelmed, burned out, and wondering how you will ever pay yourself an actual salary from this business you're building? I get it. I'm a wedding pro just like you. I sat in this season of overwhelm and no pay for way too long. Now I own one of the largest planning firms in Orlando, Florida, while doing less than 5 weddings myself each year. And yeah, I pay myself a full-time salary too. And I'm not alone. Hundreds of other wedding pros just like you have gone from overwhelmed pro to confident CEO by using the proven strategies I teach inside the Wedding Pro CEO Accelerator.
I tell Brandy all the time how grateful I am for her. Before joining with her, I thought I was successful, and I was successful, but I was working 24/7, barely making a profit. Now, over a year later, working with her, it's just been life-changing. We have our Monday calls. I voice text with other wedding planners all over the nation, and it's helpful just to have someone that's done what we're trying to do. And that is what the CEO Accelerator Group has helped and taught me to do.
Inside the accelerator, you get lifetime access to the 6 step-by-step modules that walk you through the pillars of a profitable wedding business.
The financial services spreadsheet that Brandy gives you as a part of the accelerator is worth the price of the accelerator alone. If you need clarity on finances, your budget, if you can hire, if you can even pay the people that you have hired, go get the accelerator, because that spreadsheet gave me the knowledge and power to make the decisions to continue hiring and growing my team in the way that I want to.
But what good is all of this knowledge without accountability, community, and of course, a place to ask your most burning question? When you join the Wedding Pro CEO Accelerator, you also get 6 months inside our live coaching membership.
It literally has changed the way I do business. It has changed the way I view things. It has changed the way that I manage things. It is totally amazing to be able to sit with CEOs that have been through what I've been through, have been through the trenches, and can give me the insight as to how they got through it. It doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm the only person on the planet who feels this way. No, there's tons of other CEOs that feel the same way I do, and we can talk about it, think through it, and we can learn. It is absolutely amazing, and if you're thinking about it, you should do it.
The Wedding Pro CEO Accelerator is the best of a course, a membership, and a group coaching community all in one.
The group has been so supportive and has really kept me sane through the busiest season I've ever seen in my career. For that, I'm really thankful. Looking forward to the next year and all the things I have to learn to grow and scale my business, and super excited for the next steps.
Here's the thing. You can absolutely listen to this show every single week to get nuggets that will help you scale your business. And over the course of a few years of piecing together all of that free information, you could very likely grow a successful wedding business. Or you can join the Wedding Pro CEO Accelerator today to get the proven step-by-step roadmap you need to ditch the overwhelm, build maximum profit, and step into your role as confident CEO, all in just 6 short months.
In 2021, we did $220,000 in revenue, which I was so excited about at the time. In 2022, where we sit now, our revenue came in around $560,000. Honestly, I attribute so much of that to really being able to grow. I actually no longer take on weddings myself. I'm really able to focus and be the CEO of my company. And that's come with a lot of guidance from the Accelerator Group, all of the other incredible CEOs in that program, bouncing ideas off of each other, asking for the help, and hearing from other people and what's worked and what hasn't.
Just click the link in the show notes below to learn more about the Wedding Pro CEO Accelerator, and let's build your profitable wedding business together.